So this organization was established 40 years ago to protect marine life and the oceans, and it's their 40th anniversary. This man has been on the front lines saving lives, saving species, saving the oceans, and teaching us. We are joined by the founder of the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, Captain Paul Watson, and the star of Whale Wars. Hi, Captain.
Hi, thank you.
Sea Shepherd is international, and you just had a big gala over a week ago. You had people coming from everywhere to be part of this.
We had our 40th anniversary gala in Beverly Hills, and that was very successful, thanks to Farrah Smith and James Costa, who organized mm-hmm. this. And we brought our captains and officers from around the world. We have 10 different ships out there, mm-hmm. and it was really a wonderful event in order to commemorate 40 years of activism on the high seas.
Do you know everyone there? It's so big now, the organization.
Actually, I don't, because we have about 200 volunteers on 10 different ships right now, and it's hard to really keep track of who's yeah. where and what. We've become like an international movement, but it's all operating very smoothly, and we're addressing dozens of different campaigns at any given time all around the world. For example, we're trying to save the vaquita from extinction in the Sea of Cortez. We're working in partnership with the Mexican government to do that. We're in the Mediterranean. We're off the west coast of Africa. We're in the Indian Ocean. And all over the world, we're addressing issues to stop poaching, illegal fishing, pollution, plastic pollution, and really everything we can do to make the ocean a safer place for biodiversity.
Can you tell us a little bit about the early years?
I began doing this when I was 10 years old, rescuing wow. beavers from mm-hmm. leghole traps. And then in 1969, when I was 18, I was the youngest co-founder of the Greenpeace Foundation. I left Greenpeace in 1977 to establish the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society. Greenpeace was a protest organization, and that's fine, but I didn't want to protest. I wanted to intervene. I looked on protesting as a little submissive. You know, it's like, please, please don't kill the whales, but they kill them anyway. Mm-hmm. And all you could do is take pictures and hang banners. I didn't want to do that. So ever since then, what we've done is directly intervene to shut down these illegal operations and to save lives.
And you've taken on a lot of risks over the years. You know, going back to Whale Wars, you can see the dangerous situations that you and your crew were put into. It was a battle.
It is a battle because we're confronting criminal operations, mm-hmm. Illegal fishing. The Japanese whaling fleet has been condemned by the International Court of Justice, the Australian Federal Court, the International Whaling Commission. What they're doing is blatantly illegal, and they're very defensive about that. So they've shot at us. I actually got shot one year. They throw stun grenades at us. They ram our vessels. But despite that, we were able to prevent them from killing about 7,000 whales in the Southern Ocean.
Amazing. You got shot.
Yes. But it, I had a bulletproof Kevlar vest.
Yeah, smart thinking, since you're taking on really aggressive ships.
And the problem is that we're in international waters. There's really no law. There's no jurisdiction. I brought the bullet back and gave it to the Australian Federal Police to investigate, and their response was, it's not our jurisdiction. Mm. Well, it's nobody's jurisdiction, really.
Right. Does that help you in your efforts to stop them from what they're doing?
Yes and no. I mean, when you're out in the international waters, there's no law, but then they come after you, which they did in U.S. courts with civil suits, and where they managed to keep Sea Shepherd USA from intervening against their illegal operations, but we're an international movement, so they weren't able to stop the other 39 different countries.
Right, right. So there are so many countries that you're working with. And you've been doing this, though, since 10, and I remember, and I'm sure many people remember the mid-70s, that like 1977, when we found out about the seal pups who were being clobbered for their white coats. But you were working on this before people were really thinking about conservation, about the oceans, about how important they are to us.
Well, also, I was raised in an Eastern Canadian fishing village very close to where those seals are killed. So that was a personal thing for me. So I've been opposing that since 1975. It's a long, frustrating campaign. They're still killing those seals. They say they no longer kill baby seals, but that's absolutely a lie, because instead of killing them at 2 weeks old, they now kill them at 3 to 4 weeks old. And with the by redefining what an adult seal is 3 to 4 weeks old. In 1977, we made this into an international story by bringing Brigitte Bardot out to the ice floes.
Right.
And that's where I discovered the power of media. You know, putting her cheek to cheek with a baby seal gave us the front covers of magazines all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And because the media cannot ignore celebrity.
Yeah, exactly.
So ever since, we've had worked with a lot of celebrities, because celebrities are able to get that message across. Celebrities are, in fact, a media in a of themselves.
Sure.
And, you know, right now we have so many celebrity supporters, and it makes our life a lot easier. In fact, we were honoring three of them at this gala event. Bob Barker, who gave us the money to purchase a vessel called the Bob Barker. Martin Sheen, we have a vessel named the Martin Sheen. And Jean-Paul DeJoria, we have a vessel named after him also.
And you have supporters we play. Aerosmith is one of your supporters. Boston, yes. Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yes, yeah. And Nickelback. Yes. And there's so many of them. We have a lot of celebrity support, a lot of musicians, actors and that. And, you know, we live in a media culture, so it really makes sense to cultivate that those kind of relationships.
It does. And for people who want to help on a regular basis, ongoing basis, you have many different ways for them to do that.
We have three levels of involvement with Sea Shepherd. Mm-hmm. You can volunteer to be on the ships, to work directly on the campaigns, or to be on campaigns like in Taiji, Japan, to protect the dolphins. The second level is ashore supporters. These are our chapters all over the world that support the activities at sea, but they do it on land in their homes, also involve themselves with beach cleanups, collecting plastic on the beaches. And the third level of support is just people who are financial contributors.
So it's at Sea Shepherd.
SeaShepherd.org, yes. And we're on Facebook. You can just look us up, Sea Shepherd on Facebook.
Yeah, you can find Sea Shepherd. Google it. You find all about it, including all of the boats that you have out. You have a force of your own. 10 ships, is that right?
Yeah, 10 ships. We're the largest non-government navy in the world, really. Mm-hmm. In fact, we have more ships than some small countries.
You do, and you name your ships after some of your supporters, including Steve Irwin?
Yes, one's named Steve Irwin. Mm-hmm. Generally, people who sponsor our vessels get to have a vessel named after them.
How do you feel like we're doing compared to 10 years ago or farther back? How are we doing? What's our report card?
There's much more awareness of the threats to our ocean now than there was 10, 30 years ago, but it's still a long ways to go. People tend to be alienated from the very life support system which maintains their existence. For instance, phytoplankton populations, these are the small aquatic plants in the ocean that produce the oxygen that we breathe. 80% of the oxygen we breathe comes from phytoplankton, and those populations have been diminished by 40% since 1950. And so if phytoplankton disappears from the ocean, we all die. Mm-hmm. Not many people are aware of that. So we have to protect phytoplankton. How do we do that? By protecting whales. Mm-hmm. Whales are the farmers of the ocean. They provide the nutrients to the phytoplankton, nitrogen and iron, which is, you know, one blue whale dumps every day 3 tons of whale manure into the ocean, heavily rich with those nutrients. Mm-hmm. So when you remove a whale from that ecosystem, you're basically depriving the phytoplankton of their nutrients, which in turn diminishes their ability to provide oxygen to each and every one of us.
Right. So much comes from the ocean.
It's not about saving, you know, people say, well, we've got to save the planet. No, we're not going to save the planet. This planet doesn't need saving. This is about saving ourselves. Because if we don't learn to live in harmony with the rest of the biodiversity on this planet, then we're going to go extinct ourselves.
So we all need to be helping. We all need to be pitching in because we're all invested in this. And do you want to talk about some of the recent campaigns that you've been on? Sea Shepherd has been studying beaked whales?
We actually were able to film Mother Cuvier's beaked whale and a calf off of Guadalupe Island off Mexico, which hadn't been done before. But that was just a side line from what we're really doing, which was doing research on the impact of plastics on marine life. Mm-hmm. That one was also very close to our other vessels working on protecting the vaquita, which is the smallest and most endangered cetacean on the planet. It's a small porpoise. And there's less than 30 of them left in the world. And we're in partnership with the government of Mexico to protect them. So we've pulled about 450 illegal nets out of the Sea of Cortez in that process. And it's a difficult situation because the vaquita are killed by fishermen, not directly, but as a bycatch for their target, which is a fish called the totoaba, which is also an endangered species. It's illegal to fish it. It's about the same size as a vaquita, about 4 feet long. And the reason they kill the totoaba is for their bladder. They throw the rest of the fish away. They don't even eat it. They just take the bladder. The bladder is then dried and sold in China for $20,000 a kilo. So with that kind of price on its head, you know, the totoaba is also threatened with extinction. And the vaquita just get in the way because they're in the same waters and they're caught in the nets.
Right. So they're being indirectly killed, almost to extinction at this point. But you made it big impact with the nets. Right?
If it wasn't for our involvement over the last 3 years, the vaquita would now be extinct.
Right.
And so hopefully we can still prevent it from going extinct. So this is a campaign that we're not going to retreat from.
That's right. You guys don't retreat. You guys go forward in spite of what threats are there.
And we do get a lot of threats because when you're dealing with a commodity that goes for $20,000 a kilo, there's, you know, the cartels are involved in it. The same people who are dealing with the moving the drugs, they're also involved with this because they have to smuggle them across the borders in order to. It's a completely illegal activity.
And in all the time that you've been doing this in the 40 years or before, no one on your side has ever hurt anyone.
We've never caused a single injury to a single person. We don't carry weapons. Well, actually, we do carry a weapon. We carry the most powerful weapon that's ever been invented, and that's the camera.
Right.
And so our job is to go in and expose, investigate, document, and intervene and block. And so we do all these things to make sure that it's all caught on camera. That's our best defense, and it's also the best offense because the more people you can make aware of what's going on. For example, because of whale wars, millions of people around the world are aware that Japan's doing this illegal activity in the Southern Ocean. It's one of the most remote places on the planet, and so we bring that into everybody's living room.
Evidence is awareness, and you really accomplished that through whale wars. You made it an international topic.
More people are aware of it, and I think you know, whales are considered by most people generally as species of animals that are sacred, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, not many people are supporting the killing of whales anymore.
Do you have any other plans that you want to tell us about?
We have done another show called Ocean Warriors, and that was for Discovery, and it'll be shown in about 150 different countries.
There's so much that you have accomplished. It's like you could talk for days about it. Is there anything else you want to leave us with? Anything else you want us to know?
One of the most insidious threats to survival of life in the ocean is plastic. You know, just plastic water bottles, plastic shopping bags, things like this. By 2048, there'll be more plastic in the ocean than there are fish. And it breaks down into microplastic, which is ingested by fish and seabirds, killing millions of creatures every year. And not many people realize that when plankton, zooplankton, digests or eats microplastic, it gets into the bodies of the fish. Then the fish are eaten, it gets in bodies of seals. And if people eat it, it gets into our bodies. So a lot of people who eat seafood aren't aware of it, but they have microscopic plastic particles in their bodies, and which can cause some serious problems after, as it builds up.
Yeah, don't want that there. So it's a kind of a, everyone's affected in a way. So it's
very circular. It will. It will
affect
anybody. It is one of the most toxic materials in our ocean right now. It causes far more damage than oil. The only thing I can think worse of it is, than that is radiation from Fukushima and the damage it's causing. But it's something that we have to deal with. That's why we have beach cleanups around the world trying to remove the plastic, campaigns to try and get people for not using plastic, although it's pretty unavoidable. We've got a plastic water bottle right here. And that. But for instance, Corona, we just got Corona to agree to not put beer in plastic bottles ever. They're going to use glass. And this is what we're going to try and get more and more companies involved to do that kind of thing.
Yeah, more conservation efforts. Thank you for being really a hero to the lives that you've saved, to people, to the oceans, and for teaching us so much over the years. Sea Shepherd, congratulations on 40 years.
Thank you.
Yeah, Captain Paul Watson. And we'll look forward to the next show coming in. It is.
Yeah, Ocean Warriors. It'll be it's an ongoing show. There's also, we do a lot of documentaries, Sharkwater, the Cove, we're involved in that. Plastic oceans, Albatross. We feel that this is, the camera is our means to change the world.
Go, Captain Watson. Thank you for coming by.